So we have our afternoon session. Thank you for your patience. So we have Nancy McKeever here from the Air Resources Board. And I've known Nancy for a long, long time, since I moved to Sacramento, because she was the primary author on the first Energy Aware Planning Guide, which came out in 1993.
God, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. That's when I started.
It was a junior high project.
Yeah. and I was doing the second volume of that, and so Nancy helped me a lot during that process. And even though she's been a state employee for all that time, she has managed to work on what we think are really interesting and important projects. So in addition to the planning guide, she also did PLACES, which is Planning for Community Energy, Environmental, and Economic Sustainability at the Energy Commission as well. She's been a good friend of LGC all these years. She now works at the Air Resources Board and the Office of Climate Change, and she was an advisor to us this year and last year on the SEEK Forum. So please welcome Nancy McKeever.
Thanks for inviting me to come, Pat. I get to talk about a project that I just very, very much enjoyed working on. It's called the Small Business Energy Makeover. And it was great to work with people on the front lines that are making change every day. And it's actually really good to be in this room, because with all the crazy stuff that's going on, there's so much energy in this room and good programs. I think probably everybody here is a little refreshed by it. The Small Business Energy Makeover is really nothing more than a very good partnership designed to accomplish multiple goals. And these goals are to bring utility-sponsored energy efficiency audits and retrofits to small businesses, to save money and save energy, and from the ARB's perspective, to link those savings and outcomes with things that are good for the climate. So people start to understand that saving money, saving energy is also, it's part of what we're doing for our climate. So why do we focus on small businesses? Well, from the Air Resources Board perspective, we have to get 20 million metric tons of carbon reductions from existing buildings. That's what's in our scoping plan. That's a statewide plan for greenhouse gas reduction. And 20 million metric tons from existing buildings is kind of a lot, but the hardest part is the small business sector. They're the hardest to reach because they take the most time, and they're all very different. So, you know, when a contractor goes out to them, they have just a little bit of work to do, and they've put a lot of time and labor to get that small business contact. So the Small Business Energy Makeover was designed to boost the cost effectiveness to upgrade small businesses, and also to build trust and information around energy efficiency. So it was a capacity building. And why energy makeover? Well, this was the fun part. You know, we understood what the need was, reaching the small businesses, and we understood what the tools were, all these great programs that the utilities have, but there needed to be a bridge built between the technical utility programs and the very difficult to reach small businesses. So the key was to cut the time and cost to the contractors, and to increase the sign-up rates. When they actually do go out to talk to people, they actually sign up and do a fair amount of energy retrofit. What we did was we decided to sort of take some of the luster from reality TV. Everybody was talking about, you know, extreme makeover, this and that, and this one was taken from Home Edition. I guess they go and make over a house in a day or something like that. And people knew about it and they liked it, and it was a catchy kind of title. So we were able to use this popularity to bring people in. They'd start to pay attention and jumpstart the process that would build these durable lines of communication and trust. So, and one of the things that was really worked well is we aimed high. Is when we decided to do a makeover, we said, okay, we're gonna do 100 in a day or 100 in a week. And everybody's like, ooh, there's a thing happening. I wanna be part of it. I don't wanna miss out. So it was that sort of popularity thing going on. Before I go into the makeovers, I just want to tell you that there is a really good web page. It's called coolcalifornia.org, and there's a tab, a local government tab, and that's where all of the information about the energy makeovers is located. And I think your video might be stored there too, so they can.
I see it in the corner.
Yeah. Carly's video is on that, so you can watch it as many times as you want. It's a great video. Okay, so what did we actually do? We did 4 makeovers in 2010. Carly will tell you about the SCE, so I'm not going to talk about that at all. I'll talk briefly about the SMUD, the PG&E, and the SDG&E energy makeovers that we did. All of them had successful outcomes. They were, all the partners were very rewarded by participating in the in each of the makeovers. And then I want to talk about the key factors of success that the ones I think really contributed to why these makeovers worked so well. So, what do we actually do? In Sacramento, we have a NBA superstar, whatever, the all-star for a mayor in Sacramento, which always is a draw. What we did in Sacramento is it actually started with a conversation between SMUD and the mayor's Greenwise Sustainable Programs Manager. We sat and we talked and we decided, yes, this is something we want to try to do, and we decided we wanted to work with business improvement districts. The city of Sacramento has 9. So we decided to survey them to see which one would give us the most successful demonstration. And we picked one, which was actually 2. It was one. It's the Oak Park Business Improvement District and the Stockton Boulevard Partners. They're jointly managed in one office by one really good guy. So we actually worked with 2 BIDs through one person. And we worked in the Stockton Boulevard and Oak Park, or this beautiful 1930s old low buildings, the old sort of old city kind of stuff. So there was lots of opportunities in these buildings for energy upgrades, and lots of independent, ethnically diverse business owners. It was very rewarding. If you see the, I don't know if you can tell, the woman in the front and center, the Asian woman, has a Chinese restaurant, and she's on the video saying that her energy bill is $5,000 a month, and anything that we could do to help her be really, really important to her because she has trouble paying all those bills. Then the very next day, we went to Fresno, and Joseph Oldham is sitting back there. I hope he thinks it was a good experience. It was great to work with him. It was wonderful. In this energy makeover, it was a partnership with the mayor's office. I don't know if you know the mayor of Fresno, but she's a great mayor, and the Energy Watch program and their contractor, REHA, and the San Joaquin Valley Clean Energy Organization, and of course, Cool California, which is how ARB is linked into this. So this makeover was a little different than the other ones. It was designed to help reduce the energy cost in a redevelopment district downtown, a shopping mall. It was part of one of the things the mayor was really interested in. So they were very focused in this downtown shopping mall. And San Diego, I'm trying to go through these kind of fast because I want to have lots of time for questions if you have it. San Diego was a really interesting makeover, I thought. It was initiated by conversations with North Park Main Street, which is actually a business improvement district as well. Main Streets are generally historic preservation, but they also did the BID function. And North Park Main Street went out. They had, I believe they had about 400 businesses in their improvement district, and they knocked on at least 250 doors, talked to the owners of the businesses, and told them what was going on. There was this event. It was exciting. They were going to be bringing free resources to them from the utilities, and it was all going to be organized. And, you really should do this and look them in the eye. And they knew each other, so it worked really well. And the Business Improvement District Executive Director, her name is Liz Studebaker. She was really good. She and the really good team from SDG&E got together, and they held meetings that the businesses could come to and learn about what this idea was, this energy makeover. And she went to a few of the businesses that had really done a lot of advanced energy work in their restaurants. One was a restaurant, and I forget what the other one was. But she brought them in, and they were local mentors, people that the other businesses knew, and they talked to them about what they did and how they did it and, why they did it. So that was a very powerful thing. And the Business Improvement District, because they know everybody, are really good at organizing outreach, making it efficient, putting addresses in order down streets, that sort of thing. And they hosted, at the end of the makeover, they hosted a media event where they had the local city councilman, who all the businesses knew, the mayor, the representative from the Air Resources Board from that area, and a vice president from San Diego Gas and Electric. And that video is on that webpage that I told you about. So it was pretty powerful event. It was a great education for SDG&E, who hadn't done this before, and for the BID on how to, or you know, work with the utility, and for the elected officials that participated in this, because they had access, better access to their business members who they'd been trying to do lots of different projects with anyway. San Diego Gas and Electric now has 5 energy makeovers in process, just all on their own. They went off and did that. And in San Diego, and I don't know if other cities have this, but they have a citywide BID manager. It's a woman that knows what all the BIDs in San Diego are doing, so she's a great sort of interim contact person. Before this presentation, I called the outreach coordinator, Risa Barron, at San Diego Gas and Electric, to ask her some update stuff on numbers and that sort of thing, and if she was going to come to this meeting. And she said, I'm hoping to come unless it falls on the same day as our kickoff meeting for the National City Energy Makeover. So that's where she is today, so she's not here. But some of her staff people, I think, are here. And I just wanted to read, this is a direct quote from Risa, the woman who's now doing these 5 makeovers. She said, "The energy makeovers build capacity in the small business segment so that business owners better understand the value of energy efficiency and are more interested in new ideas like smart meters." And so what this means is there's some durability in this connection that gets built, so that when they do the makeover and they put in the free light bulbs and do some thermostat work and these sorts of things, then when it comes time to do something a little bit different, like, and she used to run the smart meter program, and that's why that was of interest to her, but she said that those relationships that get built are really helpful for down the road for other programs. So, key components of success. I think I've been talking about BIDs a lot, and I just want to give a teeny bit of background in case they're not familiar. I find some people haven't actually worked with the Business Improvement District before. There's about 400 BIDs in the state of California. This map shows about 20 that are in the city of San Diego. And they're established mainly to revitalize downtown districts. And they provide financing for things like parking, lighting, hosting events like farmers markets, that sort of thing, art shows, and economic development. And probably the key to all of this energy makeover stuff is that we found the rapport that the Business Improvement District had with their members was the most important thing to making the whole thing work. And why was that? Well, the trust they had, you know, I don't know that this is true for absolutely every BID, but the ones that we worked with, it was certainly true. The trust that existed between the executive director and each of the small businesses opened the doors to the idea and opened their minds to allowing somebody to do something crazy they weren't really quite sure, you know, until they listened a little bit more what was going to happen to them. So that was really important. And they knew, you know, there's follow-up. They can walk back. If something doesn't go well, they know where that Business Improvement District person is. It's a little more direct of a connection than maybe a big utility where there's, you know, representing a much larger service territory. So this is kind of like your on the ground person connection. And the BID has an incentive, of course, to do this because their members are paying an assessment. The way BIDs are set up, they pay an assessment, so they want services for that, you know, and this falls into that category of economic development. And another thing is kind of quite different is the BIDs are sitting on these little databases, and they can, I saw this work in San Diego in particular, actually in Sacramento too, where they provided the maps and the addresses and the ownership information on the building and all these sorts of things that sort of jump-started the whole outreach and then the actual audit and implementation process. So that worked pretty well also. Another component of success is to use the Business Improvement District's knowledge of the businesses to fine-tune the utilities energy program to the local buildings and culture. You know, it's just one more degree of refinement. The BID knows what's happened in that community over the years. They know if there's already been a wave of retrofits, and if so, where. Generally, maybe not, but they can quickly find that out by asking as well. And by fine-tuning, I mean things like linking the small business energy outreach or energy makeover with existing community programs like the farmers market that the BID runs. And they have a stand there, and they have information and hand it out. And finding the mentors and knowing the best ways to communicate. Like, should this be Main Street's going green, or should it be 100 in a day, or should it be in another language, or should, you know, whatever, that sort of thing. And finally, it was really important to actively involve the local elected officials. And they added oomph to the whole event. People wanted, were more likely to, you know, catch your attention, want to participate. It fit, very often it fit into what the elected officials were trying to do anyway in these business districts. So it gave them reason to participate. But most of all, it brought, you know, by using the, bringing the elected officials in and giving them a role, it linked the city-county governments with the business improvement district executive directors with the utility. So you had three parties in the partnership. And so we've done this now in, Carly will talk about Los Angeles and the three I talked about. There's been four sort of demonstration makeovers, what's happening now. We are meeting with the PUC and talking about how these went, sharing these success stories with them, and finding out how this meets their internal programs. And hopefully we'll develop some sort of guidance so that we can put a little bit more information on the website and do some outreach to the utilities and to business improvement districts and let them know that this is a way to bring some resources into small businesses. Thank you. Did I go way over time?
Oh. Also, Nancy, I do best practices fact sheets. You know that because I send them to ARB as well. And so maybe there's an opportunity for me to do one of these, this local government partnership with business improvement districts and utilities as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carly Katona is a deputy for sustainability for Los Angeles County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas. She provides policy and programmatic support on environmental issues and serves as the office's primary liaison to the departments of regional planning, public works, parks and recreation, beaches and harbors, and public libraries.
Thank you. So I didn't know it at the time, but I was really Nancy's guinea pig. And fortunately, we're here to, because it went well, and we can live to tell the tale. So I'm going to take you about 400 miles south, back to March 2010, to Lenox. And while this looks like a picture that was taken in 1970, this is what Lenox still looks like. It's a 1 square mile unincorporated area of the County of Los Angeles. So while we're 10 million people wide and 4,000 square miles, we do direct community and municipal services for unincorporated areas. And Lenox is an interesting little community unto itself. Many of these unincorporated areas have no sense of identity, but Lenox is like a little town, a little city. And predominantly Latino, predominantly low income, and it has the very unique characteristic of having a 747 fly over it every 90 seconds or so. It's right next to LAX, so you really have to love flight and whatnot to like living there. But there's a huge sense of community, and I think that was one of the reasons that made it really easy to have success here with this makeover. So a year and a half ago, wasn't too long ago, but there were a lot of different factors that I think contributed to the success of this. Our businesses were really, really struggling. The economy was not good. There was also a lot of grassroots momentum to oppose AB 32 and some of the stuff that was happening in Sacramento, and there was outreach going to minority chambers of commerce saying, don't let you know, these folks in Sacramento interfere with your business. Don't let them impose unfunded mandates. And we needed to do something tangible and visible that could show them that that wasn't necessarily the case. And then we had some free labor. And I know Marilyn Lyons is in the back. And the South Bay Environmental Service Center got out and mobilized and actually provided people on the ground that made us, made this successful. So I could talk about it for a long time, but I think what's better is that I show you guys a little video that Nancy referred to that kind of wraps it all up really quickly, and then we can talk a little bit more about it. So.
Makeover for the Linux community.
Ah.
No, it's good. It's good.
There we go. If it doesn't buffer, then we won't watch it.
This morning kicks off a week-long energy makeover for the Linux community.
We are here at ground zero of how California and how Los Angeles and how the country are fighting back against climate change.
So we go into the business, we'll do a free energy audit, no cost to the customer, and then we'll actually retrofit the business up to $10,000 at no charge.
We'll be able to provide some free toilets, free urinals, free faucet aerators, some new equipment that will help them become more water efficient.
The volunteers from our center conducted an energy walk in this targeted area.
So basically what they want to do is take out any inefficient lights that you have and replace them with fluorescents. And they would do this at no cost to you.
It's gratuito, gratis, 100% gratuito. Tenemos varios reemplazo de lámparas.
So actually, they're very happy to see us.
Uh-oh. That was a good line to end on if we can't get it back.
The owner was online on the phone. She wasn't present. And she was very happy to see it's a free program. And she says, you know, if it's free, come on in. Come on in. And we mostly have lights that we change and update.
Well, so ultimately, the owners will hopefully see a much smaller energy bill, which would be great for them.
Small businesses should save up.
It'll catch.
Sorry.
Approximately 15 to 20% on their energy bills.
This program could not have come at a better time. I appreciate everything that you're doing.
I can just stop it there.
It's going to help us save on energy, as well as educating us on sometimes very simple ways to save. Once again, I would like to thank Supervisor Mike Brito-Thomas for helping the small businesses in Linux. That was it.
Now it's your time to give instructions so we can see how the work actually begins. How about that? Let the work begin.
Up here, we've got the thermostat in the space. This is a non-programmable thermostat. What we're going to do is replace that with a 7-day programmable thermostat, which will allow the building to be heated and cooled only during occupied times. That should save about 10% of the annual energy cost. Yeah, green means efficient. Basically, we're looking for all the opportunities to upgrade the business. A lot of business owners have already upgraded some of their own fixtures, so we're here to complete the job for them.
Here we have a older, inefficient 3.5 gallon per flush toilet. We're going to go ahead and retrofit it with new technology of 1.28 gallon per flush toilet, a high efficiency toilet. We're going to go ahead and remove the bolts to the floor, pull this out, and then we're going to put in the high efficiency toilet.
Mi nombre es Marta Limón, mi negocio es Marta's Beauty Salon y estoy muy agradecida en este momento por la ayuda que nos está brindando por esta crisis económica que tenemos ahorita, que es una ayuda muy grande para nosotros los latinos. Gracias.
This is the way you can do it. With a small amount of effort, you can be saving money within a matter of days. And by saving money, it means saving energy and helping the climate action program that California is carrying out.
We're just taking it to a new level. That's what we're doing. The Linux Energy Makeover is an effort to make our local businesses and homes more efficient and to raise the bottom line. It is an effort to drive good, green, and local jobs, jobs you can't simply outsource. It's an effort to drive all of small business communities to a cleaner and more efficient economy. I'd like to thank all of the partners here. You see them here who are a part of this. The mayor, the chair of CARB, Dave Ford, Gloria Gray, Shad Razay, as well as Luis Perez. All of them are partners, and I want us to give a big round of applause to the partners in this pursuit because they are helping us make it happen.
Well, at least we're an energy efficiency conference and not a technology conference here, but we got it together. So, you know, I don't want to be redundant to what Nancy said, but I think that there are some important notes to just keep on emphasizing. We're at a time where we don't need to sell this to folks. People want the 20% energy savings, and so we really need to make sure that we take advantage of an apt audience. It's important. We didn't have a BID. I think that that is a great model to work with, but it can be done if you have a champion and if you have an organization that knows how to work with the community. We'll go door to door. It's, you know, we have some great SE folks in the audience, but I think that it's a different thing when you have someone wearing a green T-shirt coming in and able to speak Spanish and being able to say, look, you can save a couple dollars here versus someone in a uniform that they might be intimidated by. So having that sort of grassroots connection is really, really important. They didn't have to pay anything. I mean, this is, people didn't trust us at the beginning, but we really didn't say, oh, look, as long as you put $100 down or $1,000 down, it was completely free for all those that participated. And then I think what made Lennox unique was that we were really interested in doing a whole community makeover. So we served 100 businesses, but we also served the constituents, and that ranged from, so I touched on the downtown businesses, but we also went to our senior center in Lennox and did a energy for the elderly seminar. They're very interested in anything that can save them money. It's another apt audience, so that was very well received. We went to the high school, to the elementary school in Lennox. We served 500 students. So we're trying to saturate this message from all different angles. So we taught them about what electricity is. We handed out light bulbs and just little things that, to get the conversation started at all levels. And then we did an Energy 101, and it was actually the South Bay Environmental Service Center that went out and did their song and dance and really got people to understand what the agenda and the idea was. And it's funny timing, because tonight we're going back to Lennox with the South Bay Environmental Service Center to pitch Energy Upgrade California. So the work in Lennox continues. And then what we also did is we put our money where our mouth was. And we committed to retrofitting Lennox Park, which is the small community park in the area. And we did mostly lighting, because everything else was really already there. But it was about a $10,000 investment and reduced our utility bills at the park about 20%. And I just show a picture. This is actually one of the oldest libraries in the county system. And we are in the process of beginning construction to make this a LEED Silver building too. So it's all part of showing that this can happen at the business level, it can happen at the homeowner level, and it can happen with municipal services as well. So just a couple outcomes. This is actually a mural at Lennox Park, which I just thought was so suiting for the context of the conversation. But we're trying to create an apt audience here amongst these stakeholders so that this is not foreign news, that something green, sustainability is something that they can connect with, that they can take advantage of, that they can benefit from. And as I said before, it really did create a benefit for them. But we're creating kind of a momentum for additional services that the county can provide and work with our community stakeholders to better serve the community. And just a couple points on what's next and what we're focusing on now. One-stop environmental service centers. So oftentimes, as government employees, we don't feel that our constituents and our businesses really understand what we're focused on and what we're working on. And one thing that we're doing in the county is creating brick-and-mortar one-stop shops where we're showcasing all of our energy efficiency, renewable energy, water conservation, recycling, public transportation, all these types of services in one place and on a website, greenlacounty.com. Energy Upgrade California, I was so excited that in your folder, that's the first thing you see on your left side, but we put a lot of our federal energy block grant funds and various other funding sources into really getting the word out about residential retrofits. And lastly, while I was invigorated by the conversations about PACE and the previous forum, we are also really looking at commercial PACE and how we can actually bring those businesses back to look at opportunities to creatively finance larger retrofits. We small stuff in Lennox, but we can work at all different scales with all of our partners. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carly. And since Nancy and Carly talked about the same program, we're going to take some questions on that first, and then we're going to follow it up at the end with Rick's program. So are there any questions for Nancy or Carly? And if you could come up to the one of these microphones so we can get it in the recording. Nobody? Oh, come on. We heard, actually yesterday in some of the partners meetings, I heard about even mayors and so forth of small towns going out with the people who are doing the small businesses, doing the same kind of outreach that you guys are doing there. Because again, it's hard for in some cases they were very poor, Hispanic, not really trusting of somebody with a uniform coming onto their door and asking them to come in and do something in their house. So, but that was a really very, it was a very positive thing we heard from the little town of San Joaquin. Susan.
For the Lennox example, I just wondered that it was totally free is fantastic. What was the average cost for each business? So in terms of how much, I assume that the water company put in a certain amount and the power and how did that work?
So there was, is this on? There was no cost at all to the businesses. Edison was willing to put up to $10,000 into each business. And we estimate that it ended up being about $150,000 investment for Edison. So not everyone took advantage or needed all of the different improvements that were available. But we worked through their direct install program. So the other piece is that you don't need to make this up. You have to look at the assets that your utility company has that's already in process and just leverage the existing resources. Don't reinvent the wheel.
So that was $150,000 on top of the existing programs, or was that from the existing programs?
I think $150,000 was the equivalent of direct install value.
Okay, great. Another question? Okay, if not, then we'll go on and I'll introduce Rick. His new partner is in marketing, and he's the executive director of the nonprofit High Sierra Energy Foundation in Mammoth Lakes. And I visited you in June, I think it was, resident. It was beautiful up there. It reminded me of Port Townsend, Washington. You know where that is. The foundation's mission is to promote and develop energy efficiency and renewable energy resources in the High Sierra. And he started with Edison's local government partnership up there in 2006. So welcome, Rick Phelps.
Good afternoon. First, I want to thank Pat. I want to thank the team I work with at Southern California Edison, with Jesse Langley, Greg Haney, Nancy Jenkins, my old friend John King, which is back there in the corner. But happy for the opportunity to share what we're doing in the Eastern Sierra, really how a small partnership uses effective marketing and outreach to really help create that culture of energy efficiency. To set the scene, often when I go to LA for meetings, I make sure I wear my boots and jeans and I carry my buck knife in my pocket. And then they say, you go around to introduce it, and I say, well, one of the differences where we live, you can have a knife, and I open it up, and no one thinks you're weird. But since I'm over here with the sophisticated group now in the Bay Area, I didn't wear my boots, I didn't bring my knife. But the Eastern Sierra Energy Initiative serves Inyo and Mono counties, the city of Bishop, and the town of Mammoth Lakes. That land area, I said yesterday, is bigger than 6 states. Actually, I went back to the statistical abstract last night. It's bigger than 9 states. Someone had asked me which states. Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Vermont. We are 13,358 square miles. We are 50 miles east of Fresno. You go through Yosemite Park, unfortunately you can't get there in the winter, and in the summer it's a 6 or 7 hour drive. Our population in those two counties is about 33,000. So do the math on population density. It's interesting. But it is an incredible place to live, work, play, and market, which is what I'm going to talk about today. Now, pictures and music bring it all together, and one of our local broadcast partners, media providers, KSRW Sierra Wave, helped me put this together. It'll set the scene, you'll see where we live, the kind of things we're doing with print, TV, radio, and web in terms of outreach and advertising. And then I think the lessons to partnerships, large and small, I'll address at the end of this and go through some important things we've learned that I think have a lot of adaptability just beyond our small little area. So this is where everything supposedly should play. Did you know? This is Rick Phelps of the High Sierra Energy Foundation. And did you know, take a shower instead of a bath. The average bath uses twice as much water as a 5-minute shower. And if you take it with a friend, you save even more. Another energy fact that just makes sense.
Sponsored by the Eastern Sierra Energy Initiative.
Now, the ad on the water actually was an outtake when I was recording them, and they dug it up for this, and they put it in the first draft, and I said, well, let's keep it. I suspect, though, the DJ sometimes plays that because he likes the message. But it's fun what we're doing out there, and we're lucky enough to live there 24/7 and preach the gospel of energy efficiency. And to give life to that gospel, we offer 5 lessons learned, or maybe even commandments, but I didn't want to go too far with that biblical stuff. But this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about having a constant thematic message, being passionate about your message, realizing that your news is important, and understand that the media, print and broadcast, is your friend, and getting your hands dirty and knowing the rules. Briefly on each of these, having a constant thematic message. When I was being interviewed on radio by Bill LaFever of the station that put that together, this was probably 2006, I was telling Bill various energy anecdotes about the value of compact fluorescence, insulation, building orientation. Pretty dull stuff to the listening audience, but simple, compelling messages. And from that inspirational moment, we began to develop our Did You Know radio campaign, which you saw some of the blurbs up there. And we compiled Did You Knows from public sources, EPA, CEC, EIA. We developed print ads and radio spots. We wrote our own scripts, and since I had the face for radio, I provided the talent. SCE had to approve the copy, but that was a fairly quick process, only a few patience-provoking moments. And the amazing thing is that we have used the same 30 or so Did You Knows for 5 years, print and on the radio and on the website. We've been on the radio up to 40 times a month, one of the local papers every week. And I still get comments from people that they liked our new ad. Amazing, but it shows you that you have to keep repeating that message. It's very hard to get it across. You have to be out there repeating repetitions. And we obviously have an advantage. We live in a small media market, so we can do all this for a media budget of less than $20,000 a year, which obviously we know in all of your markets it would cost much more than that to have that type of exposure. And so we've made a big impact. But what I wanted to try to bring to you today is what you can do if your message is clear and related to everything you say or do with the local media. In effect, our media campaign is a brand. We want to brand the partnership with energy efficiency, prudent investment, and we want to keep that message going. We don't want to change it. We don't want to fine-tune it. We want to have the same message whenever you are talking to the media, talking to the councils, boards of supervisors, constancy. And what we're doing is no different than branding at McDonald's or Home Depot, Apple, Microsoft. It's repetition. We want people to identify with our message. And this is one of the things, that if we look at Flex Your Power, Engage 360, I hope that we collectively can invest enough in that brand that people know what it is and don't say it doesn't work, so we got to change brands. Being passionate about your message, something that I don't have a problem being, but you can't sell a product you don't believe in. All of us believe in energy efficiency, but it's hard to get excited about it. You can't see it, hold it in your hands. You can't have a photo op with an elected official. What do you look at? Save kilowatt hours? Trying to convince others it's the first step in designing a solar project seems pretty dull. I remember touring the ranch of one of our local residents who wanted to put on solar. And I was explaining things to him and walking through his house. And in his garage, he has two 50 or 60-something refrigerators, great big old things. And I said, you know, you can save a lot of money just replacing those. And his response was, well, I can't do that. What if I killed something? And that hunter, and we'll call him that, he wanted his solar and couldn't get excited about efficiency. So how do you get passionate about efficiency? And how do you make the media get excited about energy efficiency? The same way we teach our children. Now, some of you don't have children yet. Some of you could be my children. But we do it through stories, like stories about the hunter's freezers. I also like the story that the facilities manager at our ski area, Mammoth Mountain Ski Area, told me about how he had filled a 9-square-foot hole in one of his older lodges and how much he had saved in energy by doing that. And I tell that to people, and they say, well, God, how did he miss a 9-square-foot hole? And I say, he did it with caulk, one squeeze at a time. And it's a story. You don't get an aha usually. You get more no, but it starts. It starts to get that culture idea into people's memory, that it's about the change we have to do, and the media will pick up on your excitement because it's obvious you believe, and it's not just bureaucratic technology speak. That excitement is an important part. And your news is important, my third point. What we all do is really important. We save energy, we save money, we take bad stuff out of the air, and the totals are in the millions and the billions and can help shape our economy and environment for years to come. Now, tell me why retrofits of lighting in small business isn't really much of a story, building on what my colleague said before. It's an exciting story, and it's an exciting message. We're at the cutting edge of this movement. We shouldn't forget that. We should be excited. And our goals are overwhelmingly important. If you can get the media to understand that message, every story or news release you have is newsworthy. Don't sell yourself short. I'll say that again. You might want to remember, though, to be evangelical and not political. And people, particularly this crowd, may look at me funny, but always remember that for every person that loves Al Gore, there's somebody that hates Al Gore. And that was, you know, just numbers. So we always want the tent to be as big as we can, and we want to stay out of the politics. Sometimes I even say our job is to save money, save energy, take crap out of the air, and we'll leave everything else to people in a higher pay grade. And we've been successful with that. And the media, and I was talking this morning to some people in the media, partnerships about how the media is often aggressive. They don't seem to be your friend. Well, they seem adversarial, but I think we make the mistake for thinking curt questions are hostility. In fact, all the media wants to do have a clear answer. That's what they want. And a few quick guidelines for the care and feeding of the media I will share with you. First, prepare a written statement for yourself, or if you have a release, work off of that. Second, answer only the questions asked if it's on topic. If it's not on topic, don't even address it. Assuming, here's an example of how a good thing can become a bad thing. you know, assume you're asked about a direct install program. The response might be, it's a great way for our small businesses to retrofit their lighting and save energy. But what if someone were to say instead, being quite honest, it's a great way for small businesses to retrofit their lighting and save energy, but you really have to be sure the contractor understands what has to be done. Now, what do you think becomes the story? Lighting and energy or these contractors can be a problem. Now, the other, and I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but in practice it's very important, is stop talking. Pauses are healthy. The media loves it when you keep talking and fill up the pauses. A story which you don't manage might emerge, and that's how we get this adversarial part. We have to work at it. The fifth point, my last point, is getting your hands dirty and knowing the rules. Emailing a release may get the desired response, but may also be treated as a request to my friend Bernard. Where's Bernard? Is he not here? Oh, there he is, back there. Apologies to Nigerian bankers, but your email may get treated like one from a Nigerian banker. The best way to deal with local media, and I think this even applies in larger media markets, is to follow up with a meeting. I know that many of you will say, oh, I do that. It's 30 minutes to get there, 30 minutes to get back for a 30-minute meeting. It's not worth it. You do it to put a personal face on your message. Eventually, you may be able to use a phone call because the media, whether it's the local paper or the radio or whatever, knows who you are and the nature of your message. But you have to invest to get there. You have to get your hands dirty. And remember that unless you say otherwise, every word of the media is on the record. If you want to be off the record, say so. If you want it to be background, for example, a discussion of the nature of ratepayer funding for energy efficiency programs, say so and ask that it not be attributed to you. The media will listen to you, and they will follow your desires. But they won't do it unless you're very clear about it. And be very careful, and I've seen people get in trouble with this repeatedly, of the very quotable quip. Say you're sitting with coffee with someone, a friend in the media or an acquaintance, and you make the comment that, you know, if you think the government is bureaucratic, you ought to try working with PG&E. Or fill in the blank. And it's so easy to make that kind of comment because, you know, we sometimes are very casual in what we think about. But if you let that be on the record, it may be a story. And if you're live or on tape, you violated the stop talking rule. So those are the five lessons learned from our area where we have 4/100ths of a person per acre. It's not a lot of people. But our message, again, constant thematic message, being passionate about your message, realizing your news is important, and understand the media is your friend, and get out there, get your hands dirty. I know Courtney probably does because she talks as much as I do, but it's important to make it work. Now, one thing we did, though, for coming to this meeting, we felt we had to develop a very topic-specific Did You Know ad. And I want to play that for you now, and it ends with a thank you, and I'm very honored to be able to give this presentation.
Hi, this is Rick Phelps with the High Sierra Energy Cottage. And did you know that the Eastern Sierra is a great place to hike, ski, fish, climb, and enjoy our wonderful California landscape. And spend your money in our stores and restaurants. Have fun. Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon in the Eastern Sierra.
Okay, thanks, Rick. And actually, I'll stand back here now. Actually, as I said, I was up there in June, and it's really, really beautiful in June. I don't know if I'd like it in the winter. People go up there to go skiing, but I'm from Michigan, so I liked it when there's not so much snow. But it was really, really beautiful up there. Are there any questions for Rick?
Yeah,
Okay, well, let's thank our panel. Okay.